FLW series, the FLW tour, and then also the Stren series have been good to a lot of anglers, but one in particular just had some great success on the Potomac River, and that's Dave Lefebvre. And Dave, you know, you look back at that event and it was a nice win for you.
Man, I'll tell you what, it couldn't have came at a better time. I've been knocking on the door for a couple of years now since the last win on the FLW tour at Old Hickory, and I don't know, you just, even though you know you're there and I know I'm going to be around for a long time, you still, those little doubts creep in every once in a while, you know?
Well, you have been a perennial high place finisher in just about every event, and you know, Angler of the Year has been in your sights a few times, and now you get this win at Stren, and the confidence level, I would think, would be increasing quite well for you there, and you're looking to maybe, hey, I can do this every time.
You know, when you win one, you think, wow, that was easy, and you actually start to think that, but, you know, the caliber, you know, you talk to them on the phone every day, and you know, you see the results. You know, we're fishing, even in the Stren series, I'm fishing against the best guys on those particular bodies of water every tournament. So it's obviously not as easy as what you think when you win one. You know, when you win one, everything just kind of falls into place, and it does seem easy, you know, but that's really not the case.
Well, as you look back at that event and look what happened during that event, of course, you know, you came into the last day, you had to make up some weight, and you're feeling good about, you know, going out there and catching some fish, but the Potomac can be pretty fickle at times. And, you know, kind of go through that last day, talk a little bit about strategy and what you were using, some of those kind of things.
Well, the Potomac was especially stingy this trip because we had to deal with the Elite Series tournament that was going on during our practice period. It just made it real, real tough to practice. I actually went up on Friday and couldn't do anything. Just ended up being an old, kind of like a reunion type deal. I hadn't seen some of the friends that I made back in 02 or 03, I mean, when I fished the Bassmaster Tour. So that's basically what it turned into for me, just getting to see those guys and talk to them and stuff like that. But the tournament itself was very, very tough. The fish were beat up and, you know, by the best anglers in the world for a week, you know, so it made it tough. And by day four, you know, the fish kind of, I was catching them good every day. I was fishing the way that I like to fish and fishing a place that didn't get touched by any of the elite guys, trying to play the game the way that FLW has it set up. And, you know, it's a cut format. You know, we fish 2 days, make a cut, and then you start from zero and go again. So I was playing the game that way and not really looking too good at the beginning, the first day especially, but I knew exactly what I had to do to make the cut and then turn it on from there. And it's different from any other win that I've had because I actually was saving fish even on Friday going into Saturday. You know, I left biting 3-pounders where I could have called up another pound probably. And I just, you know, took a chance, played the game the way it's supposed to be played, and thank God that it worked out the way that it did.
Well, Mismo was very, very important in that win. I'm sure, you know, the rod selection was as well, but line selection was critical as you had some fish that you could have broke off had it not been for the type of line you were using as well.
Yeah, the you know, obviously I'm with Gamma Fluorocarbon all the way. I mean, I started out with the company when it first started, and boy, I'm just so happy that I did. I was talking to you back at that time, actually, and didn't really know what to do. I'd already had a line sponsor who I liked, and these guys were persistent, and you know, they had something there, and they believed in it, and they were persistent, and I'm on. And I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I don't feel like it's a coincidence the people that are using Gamma Line right now. You know, when you look at Greg Hackney and Gagliardi, who got Angler of the Year this year in the FLW, and I believe Pam Martin just signed up, and she's been using the line and got the Angler of the Year over there on the women's side. And then Alvin Shaw, when he first started using it, I mean, had the best season he's ever had and won, you know, made 3 top 10s in a row. You know, the more things like that that keep happening when people switch to Gamma is just, to me, it's starting to look like it's not a coincidence. You know, it's just a top-notch line, and it was definitely key, especially, you know, on the Potomac, there's a lot of barnacles, and there was a particular spot that I was fishing every day that, just a barge type of thing. I don't exactly know what it was, but it had some metal. I'd pull up some pieces of rust every once in a while, and I was slipping that Gamma in there and pulling fish out. I mean, I caught 3 or 4 key fish, but one on the last day, one over 4 pounds, that just had me buried in there. And when I put it in the boat, my line was frayed about 30 feet up. I mean, it just should have broke off. I just could not believe that I caught that fish. And you know, when I look back, there's several key fish that you know, when you win a tournament, you needed every one of them. But that one there, if I would have lost it, you know, that was the win because Chris Baumgartner was catching them, and I needed to catch them that day. So, you know, obviously I attribute the line to that particular fish, and every fish I pulled out of that particular barge, rusty type situation, never broke a fish off in 4 days.
Well, you look back at it, and, you know, you were using a Mizmo product, and you can tell me a little bit about that, if you would. And then also, what was the rod selection you had?
You know, I'm using the Setter rod. A lot of people ask me questions on the particular rod that I use, and it's the model numbers on it are CLS-190MH. It's a 7.5-foot non-retractable flipping stick that's just got a little more forgiveness. It's not a super stiff rod. It's got tip, but it's got a lot more backbone. It's a good all-purpose rod. I mean, I throw a lot of different baits on it. I've got a dozen of them, you know, for different things. But I like the longer rod, and the bait that I was throwing was a Mizmo bait that we've been working on. Spent 3 or 4 days down at the factory during the summer, and you know, we just needed some type of flipping bait that, you know, everybody needs, and we came up with this. Called a swamp monster, and they didn't even have the machinery to make it. They could only make one at a time, so I'm like, well, make me, you know, the few colors that I need on the Potomac, make me as many as you can. So they sent me some bags with like 15 of each color, you know, three or four different colors. I didn't have a lot to work with, but they turned out to be, especially on the last day when the fishing got a little tougher, I had to stay back, make longer casts, and really rattle that bait around in the wood. There was some stumps and brush piles and things like that I was fishing out a little bit deeper, and I put in, you know, the bait has two little rattle chambers, and I'd put two thunder rattles in there and super glue them in and drop it down in that cover and just shake it for really long periods of time. I mean, a lot of times I was actually surprised when I got a bite out, it was in there so long, but the rattles were definitely the key.
Well, you think about it, you know, a lot of guys, when they fish a stump, they'll go by, they'll hit one side, hit the back, hit the side, hit the front, and then they move on. And basically what you're telling me is you really had to soak that bait and make that fish bite it just by shaking it in front of him.
Yeah, on the last day, it was critical. I mean, there was four other guys that made the cut that were fishing in the same creek that I was. And, you know, they just didn't catch them that last day. I think the biggest bag besides mine was maybe 5 or 6 pounds. You know, they just didn't catch them. And the other competitors kind of migrated into my area, and I got a little more pressure. You'd think by making the top 10 that you'd have less pressure, but it kind of got worse on Saturday. And the key was knowing I'm a big triangulation guy. I was actually anti-GPS when it first came out. I was just like, no, you know, I want people to have to work hard, you know, do what I do, try to triangulate things and make it, you know, it's tough when it's so easy now that, you know, all you got to do is push a button, you know. But I've never fallen away from that, and that was key to it too, you know, knowing exactly where those targets were and getting the bait in there and letting it soak, you know, just rattling around in there, and those fish were just reacting to it, and I don't know if they were just sitting there looking at it, you know, with their nose right to the bait, looking at it for a minute, or if one just swam in there occasionally, I have no idea, but it was definitely the key, making a long cast, letting it soak in there, and knowing exactly where your targets were.
Well, Dave, you know, your success is documented over and over again. You've had a great, you know, career so far, a young man yet, and one other thing I want to mention here is you're about to have a new baby there in the household.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to say we planned it, but we didn't quite plan it this perfectly. We have a 5-week break right now, and the baby's due right in the middle of that, 2.5 weeks from today, two weeks and 4 days from today. So we're ready, and my wife is she's probably going to go a little early. So we're every day we're thinking this could be the day. So we're excited. We want to try to have the baby, and she wants to go to Lake of the Ozarks for our next FLW series event, so the sooner the baby comes, the more chance she'll have of going down there.
Well, no doubt about it, a great family. And Dave, thanks for being with us here at Bass Fan Radio.
Okay, thanks, Terry. Always a pleasure.
I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.